lands of Fienheel, we gather she's in the forest somewhere. Could be anywhere. She's heading up to Vancouver. Anyway, Living by Numbers, new music. Katie Grimason's in the studio. And this is Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive, Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren 107.3 FM, hosting it. And now, tis Ilana Rain time. Yes, always fun, always marvellous, and slightly longer than last week, where she was only really in for about 40 seconds. And we said, thank you very much, Ilana. You know, we moved on. And we said, back with us this week. And really, the cherry on the top, almost, of a show, which has started off with Cameron Tilbury in Nashville, Caroline Harding and Mensner, with the fabulous blog MyDaughterWon'tSleep.com, Michelle Munro, and Jamie Anderson, of course, son of the legendary Jerry Anderson, talking about some of the exciting upgrades with respect to Terrorhawks, and a whole heap of other goodies, Thunderbirds, and more.
And Natalie Tuck.
Listen, of course, the Tuckster was with us. Natalie Tuck, of course, sharing us a whole range of things there. So there we are, Ilana. Just all those goodies that you can actually access again through the podcast, which is how you'll obviously find out all of those kind of areas. A bit like Penny Evans, who these days listens to us via podcasts, because she's having a real busy time in all sorts of ways. But we wish you well, Penny. What's life like in the West Coast now? Are you chilling? I mean, Katie's been asking me to play Lana Del Rey in West Coast just for you.
I think this is the time to play West Coast.
Well, we'll give her a few moments to speak, otherwise she doesn't even say hello as yet, really. You know, so hold back a wee bit, Katie, before you're straight into a musical side of things. I stand by the question.
Is that your anthem? Is that her West Coast anthem, that song? Because I have my own anthem, and it's Tupac, California Love. I mean, I could play that on a loop for hours. I highly recommend it.
Tupac, California song. Love. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And not the Lana Del Rey West Coast setup.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. Strangely enough, I have thought, when listening to Ilana, to Lana Rain, I do sometimes think of your good self, Ilana. Not just for the fact that it's Ilana, Lana, you know, and so do that. But purely and simply, for the point of view, I sometimes think that that kind of New Yorker, slightly sophisticated, kind of ingenue approach is something which you both tend to manifest in various ways. Or maybe I'm just completely off base on that one.
I appreciate the slightly sophisticated, addendum to the sophisticated, because I get so tired of being called sophisticated.
Exactly.
Flat out.
Exactly.
So brought back down to earth.
Just you.
Life on the West Coast, let me tell you. You know, I had a very New York-y sort of thing happen to me the other day. I was hanging out with Phil, my friend, who's also a film director, Phil Lerner. Yeah.
Is that the guy who follows you on the show? Actually, he's basically Ilana. You are Phil's warm-up act. Is that fair enough? You know, you kind of get the audience all excited.
You're really like cutting me down a couple of notches.
No. Carry on.
Now I'm a warm-up act.
Ilana, you could be, you are the number one. This is why, let's face it, in California now, it's 23 and a half minutes past 10 a.m. in the morning.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, it's just been another one of those late nights. But, you know, this is the thing. So we're, you know, we hang out, we watch movies, we talk about movies, we just don't stop talking. It's quite exciting. And we both realized that we live so close together. I can walk home via sidewalks in L.A. from his house to my house.
You walk in L.A.? Sorry, Ilana, you actually walk in L.A. Isn't that against the law?
No, you see, he lives in a walking neighborhood. Yeah. I live in a walking neighborhood. But it never really occurred to me that these two walking neighborhoods were connected. And I did it. And I was, like, looking at buildings and shops and people. And it was like, believe me, it was no small deal, because I walk in my neighborhood, but rarely from neighborhood to neighborhood. So it made me feel very much at home. Mm. And that, though, sort of triggered I actually really am in a big city. And then I started thinking, like, what it was like all those years in New York, sort of feeling like I was in a bullseye with, you know, the post-9/11 stuff. And I was in a good mood, but it sort of did spiral a bit. And I ran into our neighborhood fireman the other day, a very friendly, hunky man who's just really, you know, a hero.
What is it with hunky men these days? I mean, you know, there's Katie Grimmison going on about her driving examiner. She passed her test, by the way, Ilana. So we've been celebrating.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
But it was the guy you wanted to, like, impress the hunky driver. That helped a little, right?
Clearly.
Listen, look, if you're a fireman, I really hope you're hunky. I mean, you're running into a burning building where everyone else is running out. If there's not a need for muscle in that situation, I don't know what situation demands muscle, if not being a hero fireman.
Okay.
So anyway, the point is, he started saying, so is your earthquake emergency kit ready? And I just, you know, kind of said, yeah, I've got a couple of bottles of water and some power bars. And clearly that was not sufficient. So I started going online and looking, and I was really very determined to not get into that paranoid survivalist mindset that is very, very easy to slip into, especially, you know, having lived in New York during that horrendous time. And, you know, it's just very easy to spiral. So it's like, okay, I'm just being prepared and not paranoid, you know, skirting that fine line. And I was looking online at all these kits, you know, that the Red Cross sells or Amazon, and they're just absurd. They're absurdly expensive. They, you know, $95 for a red knapsack with some, you know, antibacterial wipes and a flashlight. So I started thinking, I can really just assemble this myself. And I kind of want to throw it out there to your studio of what would be in your earthquake kit, because none of these on Amazon or Red Cross have white wine or bourbon or a puzzle. You know, nothing actually that can get you through 72 hours on your own. That's what you're supposed to prepare for. So, Alex, I'd like to know from you, what would be in your three-day I'm on my own survival?
Make sure you have a sufficiently advanced iPod player to carry at least 72 hours worth of midweek drive editions. Because I think that would help you. I think in many ways we do these shows both on a Wednesday and on a Thursday primarily to actually, you know, act as an emergency go-to in the event of an earthquake. Yeah, that's
smart. So it'd be calming. It would calm the population. Well, is that what you're saying? So we don't end up like cannibalizing each other.
Exactly. Cannibalism is wrong. You know, even if you're in Erdington. You know, no matter how much you feel as though you might be tempted to. It's a segue of Birmingham, not Alabama, by the way. But cannibalism is not good. Nor is actually sort of self cannibalism. Don't eat your thigh if you have to. Just ease through. Katie, what about yourself? What are your tips in terms of what key things would you need in the event of an earthquake?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Better start thinking, Katie.
Yeah, there we are. Huh? And Lord knows what's going to happen once those frackers get to work. Anyway, that's...
There's not fracking there. But yes, I did, though, then I was slightly comforted by the statistic I heard that there are actually 20,000 earthquakes a year in California. Just micro little movements. But supposedly they're waiting for the big one. So,
well, let's face it, is San Francisco at the beginning of 1900s that actually sort of went, so the San Andreas Fault is there. I personally think you should actually sort of hoy on over back to Britain as soon as possible, basically. Yeah, it's just let the Pacific Coast just slip down there. That's the important thing.
No, but there are families here. There are people just living their lives.
Well, and of course, there are the bikini roller derby disco girls, which we know appreciate key aspects of the whole thing.
Well, I just got to make sure I get some of them over here during those 72 hours, and I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, that's what you need, you see. In the event of an earthquake, send for the bikini roller disco derby girls. Funny enough, we didn't ask Natalie Tuck earlier in the program in terms of the roller derby disco that she was doing at Hyde Park, whether, in fact, it was bikini-led as well. It's worth thinking about. Nothing to do with the bikini atoll and, of course, the nuclear bomb tests, but that's another line entirely. Anyway, Katie, anything you'd like to say to Ilana about life, the universe, and such like material?
What have you been doing
lately? Apart from shooting the breeze with Phil Dearness.
What projects have you got
and
going on?
Chilling out about earthquakes, etc. What's happening in the wonderful world of Lana Del Rey? No, sorry, indeed,
oh,
Ilana Ray.
Yes.
I think I just closed my microphone down now. Anyway, yes, the wonderful, the even more wonderful world of Ilana Ray.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm working on the film and just doing revisions and researching and planning summer trips. And lots of, you know, it's just a lot of work and a lot of waiting, which is okay. It's just a state of mind. And yeah, I'm planning. I was just invited down to a film festival in Mexico, so I just planning that. So
you're not checking out the World Cup? I mean, that thing in Brazil, in which Jürgen Klinsmann's USA, actually go up against Ghana and the like.
I may check out some World Cup, yeah. But I hear there's a lot of controversy around
heaps,
the whole thing.
Heaps.
So I don't know.
But as the news carried earlier today, Sepp Blatter, now as chairman of FIFA, believes it's only a matter of time before we have football played on other planets. With other species. Yeah.
That's important. That's
I think
very,
so.
Very, very important.
Yeah.
I just really don't care about sports at all.
Oh.
I like watching athletes run. And, I mean, the type of sports that I find very interesting are the personal best sports. The ones where you see, a young 15-year-old girl who's been training in gymnastics since she was, one. And then she's there, and her life's been completely consumed and by this. And then, she succeeds and wins the medal or wins the competition. To me, that I find truly exhilarating. And but the team stuff, I feel, verges often way too much into a mob mentality, starting with the very young children. And
Ilana, remember, there's no I in team. I never thought I'd say that.
But there is a man.
The problem.
Exactly. Exactly. This is a critical juncture. Perhaps we can actually set up a sport just for Ilana, dealing with hunky firemen. We could actually have hunky firemen rescues. Phil Leonis, 29 minutes ago in Los Angeles, said the following. Listening to the great tunes, Alex Leftug is throwing down on Siren FM.
Are you
Sass
throwing
Central.
Down the basement?
For you, Ilana, I shall throw down my cloak, madam. Hopefully he's been checking out the interviews as well. I mean, we like to view the tunes as being the audio punctuation points. It's not a music show. You want a music show?
Oh, tell Phil, when you talk to Phil, ask him to get back to you about the 18th. I think
you just have. You just have. You've already said that. You've used this line as a means of actually getting that point. So, I'm sure the message will come across there. He'll probably reply as well in kind. Go to sirenonline.co.uk and you can actually hear the answer. All will be well. Yeah. Katie.
You're our favourite platform of communication, we decided. Because, we text and we do the Facebook thing, but I think our preferred method is through you.
Oh. There's someone in the background there seems to be doing Morse code. Is it just me, Katie, or is there somebody who's going...
I noticed it.
I'm so giggly.
Yeah, there's definitely somebody doing Morse code in the background there. It's almost like a kind of, a time warp from the 1950s. A different line of...
Yeah. Well, another thing, speaking of code, is I've been informally studying SETI language, and that's something we can talk about on a longer episode. It's fascinating.
I think, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence is something we definitely need to work through. Every show goes out, I like to feel, to our friends in the universe. That's important.
That's
beaming out there. Katie, whilst I'm ruminating as to whether we go Tupac Robot Club Rock, Filthy Dukes featuring all Wiley, no, I don't think so, or Lana Del Rey in West Coast, would you like to throw those last two questions to Ilana, please?
Yes, Ilana, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, it started off a little shaky because I wasn't sure about the ground I was standing on with Alex. But now it's back, and I know it's just our regular circle of love.
I kind of look forward to connecting with you again.
If I don't respond like that next time, sure.
Yay!
West Coast, they got a saying, if you're not drinking,
I think there's a lot of Ilana Ray near Lana Del Rey, Katie.
I think so as well.
There's a similar aspect to the whole thing. You know, it's either that or parallel parking, or maybe the reverse, left reverse into the centre of the road. Of course, if you're taking your driving test in the States, you'll be the other side of the road entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things to come.
From LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the midweek drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only Phil Leonard.
Yay! Oh, hello. What's happening? Have we lost Mars? Mars calling Venus? Mars calling Venus?
Oh, I'm here. I was just struck by a memory that on Dean Haglund, my co-host Dean Haglund, on his spin-off from The X-Files, The Lone Gunman, there was a recurring character known as Eve Del Harlow, and they found out that that was not her real name when they realized that it was an anagram for Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes.
And that's how I'm now suddenly struck by, is it possible that Ilana Rain is just an anagram?
Lana Del Rey, Ilana Rain.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, sure, some of the letters don't match. But, you know, I was told there'd be no math when I came on the midweek drive.
But it's quite all right. You've heard the good news, of course, that after following her through, supporting in every sense of the word for many a month, actually 3 years in many ways, Katie, with respect to certainly a degree. But yes, not only the degree, it's been sorted out, dissertation up a second, marvellous stuff there, but also Katie Grimason has passed her driving test. And the world is somehow a happier, brighter place as a result of it. There are people in California, might say, I use the bus in Los Angeles. But fundamentally, Katie Grimason has passed her driving test. Yay!
How will, Katie, how will you be using that driver's license in Birmingham?
How?
Yeah. I mean, is driving going to be an active part of your daily life there?
Not at the minute, no.
It's because it was there, Phil. That's all, because it was there. She's going to have chauffeurs driving around. Probably the examiner, I would have thought. But there we are.
But you'll be able to drive back and forth now between Birmingham and your regular slot on the midweek drive.
When I get a car, yeah.
Right. So yeah. They don't give away cars in the UK just for passing the test.
No, sadly not. Yeah.
It's tragedy, but never mind. It's all good in the world. So excellent stuff there. And Katie also has her dissertation in hand, and we have a photograph of Katie holding said dissertation, which we'll be putting online later. So great stuff there.
And what was the dissertation on?
The actual title of it is Domesticity to Employment: The Social Change in American Women's Roles in Post-World War II America.
That's outstanding. And how many times did you come to America to study this and research this?
None.
Classic British academic approach. Classic. Yes.
I that's fine. Absolutely. I mean, come on. It's a brave new world. I mean, research is just a synonym for the word internet. But certainly am glad to hear that you weren't here, because if you came here and, you know, you didn't get in touch, there would have been problems.
You know, she was saying the same thing about your upcoming trip to London for Worldcon. You know, we're already structuring and planning out. Have the rain started there? Have we got hailstones coming in California? Oh, Lord above. Yes, the fact. Let's read the script, Leftuke. That's what they say. As I was alluding to, when you arrive in London once again, are you coming up to Lincoln? Are we going down to London? Should Katie come down to London to see you? Should she actually wait in Lincoln? It's very confusing, isn't it, Katie?
It is, because I won't have anywhere to live anymore in Lincoln in August.
That's why she's given up the ultimate sacrifice, nowhere to live in August. But she still needs to see you, Phil. There we are. Yeah,
well, many things can change between now and then. I mean, no one makes plans that far ahead, and no one can remember as long ago as yesterday what they did. Especially when, as a filmmaker, as a podcast host, as a certified violence prevention specialist here in California, I'm triple booked every hour of every day. Hmm. I mean, I've had 3 phone meetings while the Midweek Drive program has been on. I've got 3 different events this evening that I'm RSVP'd for. I may make none of them. So, you know, plans are more of a guideline than a rule.
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the midweek drive for Siren FM and more.
Are you excited by the World Cup, Phil? Is it the sort of thing which I can see Dean and yourself having many an hour on the obviously chill-pack Hollywood hour, ruminating over the joys of 442, 433, 1324, all the many various nefarious systems that are actually there, whether Jurgen Klinsmann can get the best out of the United States of America, you know, what Zico's possibly thinking, what Maradona's, you know, or is it a case of, I don't know, it's happening in Brazil?
No, we enjoyed... I'm trying to remember where we were when where we were doing the show during the last World Cup. I do remember there was a World Cup. How often is it? It's every 4 years, right?
Just like the Olympics, and indeed every sort of other 2 years. In 2 years' time, it'll be the Olympics, also in Brazil. So even more chance to riots then, I would have thought.
Right. Well, I remember before we did the show, yeah, so we never have actually talked about this, I don't think. But in 2006, when we had production offices next door to each other, when I was in film distribution and he was running his production company, we used to actually, yeah, converge in the cafe that was in the lobby of the office building many times throughout the day because we enjoyed watching the World Cup. And it sort of surprised each other because neither of us will ever really profess to any great love of sports. But it's a huge event, and but I don't think either of us are particularly interested in the American side of things in the World Cup. There's just too many, you know, rich stories full of tradition around the world where the World Cup is concerned to focus quite so much on what the U.S. is doing.
And of course, Phil Linnis is a Crystal Palace supporter, which is nice because obviously their 3-3 draw with Liverpool helped pave the way for Manchester City to actually win the title this year, which is really nice.
Is Crystal Palace in the Premier League?
Of course, they're in the Premier League under manager Tony Pulis. They have survived and thrived and maintained to the Premiership. That is, of
because
course,
the first year that I started, I decided, you know, this was more than 2 decades ago when I decided I was going to follow Crystal Palace. They were going to be my team.
Katie would have been one. At the time,
yeah, they got relegated that year. So
you should follow Wolverhampton.
Why should he? Why should he, Katie?
Just because it's Wolverhampton.
That's a thought.
Well, there's no arguing with that one.
Exactly. How often the New York Cosmos or the Tampa Bay Rowdies could have, you know, said, well, you just should follow the Tampa Bay Rowdies, LA Galaxy, just because they're LA Galaxy.
Exactly.
And that's what you call it.
You know, that's the reasoning. That's the reasoning I use all the time on our show. You should watch Fargo, the new show starring Martin Freeman.
Why?
Why? Because it's Fargo.
There you are, you see. And wouldn't that kind of mean you could go through so many recommendations on Chill Park Hollywood Hour? It would actually pack in so much more, thereby being more efficient. So, boom, there you go.
No. See, that's where you're wrong. It's far more efficient to need to spend 20 minutes on a particular topic because we've got an hour to fill.
Yes, but you know, don't forget, in case you're wondering, we haven't forgotten about Goodnight Melissa, because if you've been caught our earlier piece of the programme, in between the meetings with Caroline Hardingham-Mentzner, sister of Fiona Hardingham, the comedienne you wanted us to track down once again, and as I say, we duly always acknowledge our director's notes, and although we didn't quite manage to get in touch with Fiona, she put us in touch with her sister Caroline, one of the 4 Hardingham sisters, so we're 3/4 of the way, 75% through the 4 Hardingham sisters, and we're still going strong, and hopefully Felicity will be with us in the not-too-distant future as well. It's Felicity Hardingham. Meanwhile, she was talking about her 2014 Brilliance in Blogging blog, which is mydaughterwon'tsleep.com, and as we found out, her daughter, Melissa, usually is 6 o'clock is too early, I think it was, Katie?
Yeah.
8 o'clock is too late. 7 o'clock is the time which is ideal, because obviously we've worked her through the show. And just as we said with Alana Rain, what would we actually want in the event of an earthquake? Response, obviously, an iPod which had at least 72 hours worth of midweek drives on to actually listen to and sure share and enjoy. Probably without music, because copyright reasons, but you could still actually enjoy those things.
And quite frankly, if one of those midweek drives was the Lion Podcastathon, that's 96 hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. In listening to the show, though, and getting very excited, as I am for the Lincolnshire show, which I've yet to actually attend, But I am curious, Katie, are you still going to be there for the Lincolnshire show?
Afraid not.
Now, is this something that you have attended in the past?
Yeah, I attended it last year.
And is this something that people should come from far and wide to attend?
I think so, yeah. I really enjoyed it, but I was mainly in the press tent, so...
Phil, you've got...
What about it? What about it did you particularly enjoy? Because I always get to hear what you cover, but what about it do you particularly spark to?
I enjoyed it because for 2 days it was just about networking, tweeting about the event, and then after... it was finished. It felt weird, and I wanted it to carry on. But
we have got for the 2014 Lincolnshire Show: Pakefield ferrets, chainsaw sculptures, police dogs, Leicester tigers, the Quendon falconry, the jive pony people, equine gymnastics, chainsaw sculptures, police dogs, more jive pony, the parade of hounds, British scurrying trials driving, heavy horse turnouts. Did I mention jive pony? The RAF Waddington pipes and drums, the Brown Butlin Young Farmers Association.
Are there chainsaw sculptures?
Chainsaw sculptures, there are indeed.
You'd only mentioned that twice.
Yes.
So I wasn't sure. And by the way, a reference, I mean, that's an incredible, it's almost as if we planned it, because the last episode of Fargo, starring Martin Freeman, which you should be watching because it's Fargo, the last episode there was a long conversation all about chainsaw sculptures.
There you are.
Oh, and there's a lot of lovely food at the Lincolnshire Show
as
well.
And a lot of lovely food!
Well, this is what I would imagine, because, I mean, again, Lincoln is very well known for its culinary delights, being there in the green belt, as it is, as we would call it here. I don't know if that's a term there, but an agricultural area. The food is very well known by even those of us here in the States who had not been, and that was one of the things I was looking forward to so much when I visited. But, Alex, since you've covered it so many years, is there anything that you find that you particularly look forward to as it approaches each year?
Every exhibitor has his or her own narrative and story, and the energy that's there is something we have to almost attend to really soak up. You might have your impression of what a country show might be like. I certainly did. It might be full of preconceptions, but just actually going there, and it does change, it evolves. The RAF Falcons, for instance, will be returning this year. Last seen in 2008, 12-man team will be free-falling. I'll say that again, free-falling from 12,000 feet into the Clydesdale Bank main ring with a display at speeds of up to 120 miles per hour. Two members of the team, Flight Lieutenant Ollie Smith and Sergeant Rob Priestley, both visited the show as children. They're now going to free-fall 12,000 feet into it. You've got the Land Rover experience. You've got RAF Waddington pipes and drums. You have literally got something for every soul. And... of course, great food as well, so you can browse and do all sorts of things there. So I would hardly remember. Is there something I'm looking forward to more than anything else? Well, obviously it's fun dealing with Jive Pony, although whether actually accedes to their challenge having worn a purple tutu last year to actually getting into a onesie this year, I don't know. The negotiation's still open for that. I think I might be holding out for a better deal from Rebecca and the Jive Pony team. We'll just wait and see.
Well, it sounds like you know, let's face it, at a time when cynicism seems to be an easy approach and an easy sell, even on radio programs, that just the earnest enthusiasm of participants is something that would recommend it, if nothing else. And also, I must say, you know, the enthusiasm that you bring to covering it each year certainly is something that... I don't know. It makes it seem like something one should attend.
We like to feel that we throw down the lines, Phil. We throw down those words and hopefully make some kind of coherent sense. But then again, we were at Bramham, the Bramham Equitrack International Horse Trials over the weekend. Equally fun, equally wonderful, even though it was fairly wet at the time and we had torrential rain. We still kept going. That's the important thing.
Were there audio postcards?
They're already up there. They are already there.
Oh, all right.
Yes, you can go online and access those. And in the event of an earthquake, it might just be the difference between life and death if the San Andreas Fault actually finally slips off and Lex Luthor does his business. But Lex, my mother...
Otisburg?
Yeah.
Alexburg?
Yeah. Well,
Alexburg?
Who knows? Who knows?
Is there going to be young farmers at this?
There will be young farmers there as well, Katie, as well. Yes, there will be young farmers. as in the Young Farmers Association.
Is that your demographic, Katie? The Young Farmers?
There's so much we found out about Katie's personal style on this show. It's rare, but a special privileged treat just to have Grimason Lefchuk and, you know, no Rachel, because she's back in Bury St Edmunds. No Holly, because Holly Parker is back up in York. Holly Cox perhaps didn't get the email. Hannah O'Brien, we had thought she might be there. No, she's a bit poorly. So, you know, it works out, because the universe just manifests itself in its own way. It's joyous. Wonderful.
Well, it was so wonderful to hear Natalie earlier on
exactly.
the show. And of course, I feel like it's been several years now that I've been appearing regularly on the Midweek mm-hmm. Drive, mm-hmm. and I feel like I've gotten to witness Katie Grimason grow up before my very ears.
Exactly. it's poignant. It's personal, but it's wonderful as well. Really, it's great stuff. It works in every sense of the word. I mean, in some of those early Katie Grimason, they can still be accessed. You can download them. Just walk through that whole process. Katie, number between 2 and 26, please.
25.
Any reason for 25?
No, I just thought I'd pick it.
Okay.
I have a special request to pass on to you. Directly from the morning sun herself, echoed by the clear blue sky, the earth under your feet, and the trees in your life who each long for your passing. From time to time, however sporadic or brief, they'd absolutely adore your undivided attention. I know I'd want to know, so I thought you would too. The universe. Yes, I know, you can't be everything to every tree, but you come amazingly close.
There we are, you see. Strangely pointed as ever, because there is no such thing as coincidence.
Katie, when he asked you any particular reason why you chose 25, you were supposed to say, because it's 25.
Always important in every sense of the word. Okay, coming up very shortly, we have the Siren Lifestyle Show, which comes up with Mr. Wiley, Craig Wiley, that is. Very good. News coming up, of course, from the news team as well. But, Katie, before we go over to the Travelling Wilburys, would you like to throw those two questions all the way over to the Atlantic? We still need to finish, of course, with Goodnight Melissa. Don't forget that. And hopefully, I haven't repeated Ilana Rain's question to Phil. And he actually heard what Ilana's question was, because I don't want to, you know, go into repetition for redundancy's sake. Anyway, Katie, last two questions.
I missed it. No, I missed Ilana.
Oh, no.
Question. Yes.
Well, what did Ilana want to question Phil about?
Can't remember.
Katie can't remember. I think it was something to do about the 18th or something, I believe. I think the 18th.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. It does.
In between the Morse code that we were playing about with at the time, really. Anyway, Katie, all off right. You go.
Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
It just became more interesting now that I realized that my messages are being delivered in this form. Messages from Ilana about whether or not we're on for the 18th. Very, very interesting to have them delivered this way.
Yes, yes.
And can I look forward to connecting with you again?
Well, will you be there, Katie?
I'm not sure.
He's not sure.
See, so maybe you'll have to tell me. I'll be back. I will be back virtually every week. The question is whether you'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Or will you just be one of our virtual listeners tuning in and sending your message? Or will we simply have to say, in the words of Caroline Hardinger-Mensner...
Zebedee arrived. Time for bed, I think, he said. Already, said Florence.
This is for children of the world who've had quite enough midweek drive. So... Fellinus will return. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, to Caroline Hardinger-Mensner, to Michelle Munro, Jamie Anderson, Natalie Turkey, Lana Rain, and Phil Linus. Can we all say goodnight, Melissa?
Goodnight, Melissa.